Texas is known for its blue bonnets, but do people know where they came from? Have they heard of the young girl who bi-located to America, whose body would be found incorrupt, who exorcists say the demons hate, as well as the blue books that she wrote, who defended and helped to bring about the dogma of the Immaculate Conception? It all starts in a quiet town called Agreda, Spain. Here, even the King of Spain would come to visit this young girl. She was born to Francisco Coronel and Catalina de Arana. Her parents were exceedingly devout. Her mom would stay up late at night for 3 to 4 hours, praying with a skull before her face, meditating on death. Her father would wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning and carry a heavy metal cross on his shoulders, dragging it around in his room, meditating on the Passion of Christ. His daughter would use this same cross when she was older and would add other forms of mortification. At only 4 years old, the bishop decided that she was already at the age of reason and could receive the sacrament of confirmation. He was no ordinary bishop. He was actually the personal confessor of Teresa of Avila in her last year of life. He would also go on to write her biography, and he was also related to St. John of the Cross. A few years later, Venerable Mary started school, and very quickly she wasn't able to complete her studies because she fell ill, which would be a long line of illnesses through her whole life. During her hours at home, her mom encouraged her to do mental prayer and to do a wide range of devotions. One day, her mom was in the church of the Virgin de la Peña, in front of a crucifix now known as Christ of Counsel. She heard in prayer that she was to convert her house into a convent. Immediately, she ran down the street to talk to her confessor about what she got in prayer. Surprisingly, as she ran down the street to find her confessor, she saw him running her way. They met and they both shared that they had the same thing in prayer at the very same moment. That yes, Catalina was to start a convent, her husband was to enter the Franciscans, and all of her children would also eventually become religious. The meeting place of these two souls is still marked today by a cross. Consoled by her confessor, she went home to tell her husband. Her husband was not happy about this idea, for they had both prayed devoutly before this statue in their town called Our Lady of the Miracles to find their future spouse. Francisco was fond of his marriage and didn't want to give it up to religious life. This would begin a 5-year discernment period where they would both take the prayer if this was really a true calling from God. After 5 long years of discernment, Francisco Coronel agreed that it was God's will that they became religious. They went before the statue of Our Lady of the Miracles, where they had both found each other as spouses, and here they consecrated and started their life as religious, both taking the surname of the Blessed Sacrament. By this time, both of their sons had already entered religious life as Franciscans. Catalina wasn't going to found her own order, but she was going to take on the religious rule of the Conceptionists, a religious order that received their habit from the Virgin Mary herself. This habit was white with a blue cloak. This order was entirely dedicated to Mary's Immaculate Conception, a thread that would run through Venerable Mary of Agreda's life as she would help to usher in the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. During these first 3 years of Venerable Mary's religious life, she would experience levitations as well as bilocations. The first time that she bilocated, she immediately told her confessor about it. During the first 3 years, she bilocated over 500 times. In these experiences, she saw various different native people, including a one-eyed chief. She taught them about the Catholic faith and how they needed to receive the sacrament of baptism to be saved. On one occasion, she even recalls bringing them physical rosaries to pray. From her experiences in this new land, she started to embroider her priest vestments, mimicking what she saw. She would have detailed patterns that she saw the natives wearing, and she would also embroider plants and flowers that had never been seen in Spain before. 3 years into these bilocations, her confessor told her to start praying for these experiences to go away. She told the natives that she wouldn't be able to visit them anymore, and that they really needed to go find priests to give them the sacraments. It turns out that the natives that she was talking to were called the Humano Indians, living in what is now called San Angelo, Texas. For the next 6 summers, the natives would travel to foreign mission lands to ask the Franciscans to come and be their priests. The Franciscans kept saying no because they didn't have enough priests to spare. During this time, Venerable Mary turned 24 years old, and it was during this age that she felt greatly ill. She was so sick that many were fearing that she might die. There was a miraculous statue in their town called Our Lady of the Martyrs. Venerable Mary asked for the statue to be brought by her bedside so that she could pray for a miraculous cure. Her prayer was answered, and in front of the statue of Our Lady of the Martyrs, Venerable Mary was miraculously brought back to good health. In Thanksgiving, Venerable Mary created a beautiful garment for the statue that can still be seen today. She also wrote the Litany to Our Lady that very same night. She says that when she was cured, she felt a profound calling within her to write down the hidden life of the Virgin Mary. Her guardian angel told her that her life was spared because she had a mission. This mission was to write down the life of the Virgin Mary. The next year, when she was only 25 years old, her community elected her to be abbess. This was out of the ordinary because normally abbesses were around 40 years old. They had to get written permission from Pope Urban VIII to grant this request. Venerable Mary did not see herself worthy and ran to the Virgin Mary in prayer, asking for help in the situation. Mary heard her cries and assured her that she would help her to be a good and holy abbess. But she also told her, now for the first time verbally, that she was to write down Mary's hidden life. Finally, when she was 27 years old, the Humano Indians made their last trek across America to ask the Franciscan priest to come and baptize them. At this point, the Franciscan priest already heard of these miraculous stories of a lady in blue visiting natives. The Franciscans were more prepared and decided to ask them questions. They asked how they already knew about baptism and how they already knew certain elements of the faith. The natives responded that some lady in blue had been appearing to them and teaching them the faith. The natives also explained to the priests that wherever this lady in blue walked, blue flowers sprung up behind her cape. There was a picture of another conceptionist nun. The natives pointed at it and said, "The lady wears this outfit, but she is much younger and more beautiful." The priests, surprised by this response, immediately decided to send some of their priests to this tribe. After many long days of travel, the priests came out to a clearing and they saw before them over 10,000 natives excited to greet them. The natives say that Venerable Mary was present that day and she helped prepare a beautiful cross decorated in flowers. Over 10,000 natives were baptized that day. That's over 3 times the amount that were baptized at Pentecost. News of this event spread quickly, and soon inquisitors in Spain wanted to start questioning Venerable Mary about these experiences. The Inquisition did not evaluate her yet, but that would come on later in life. When Venerable Mary was 35 years old, she finally sat down to start writing The Mystical City of God, which would be the story of the Virgin Mary's life. Within the first 20 days, she already completed one of the first books out of 8. Mary explained to Venerable Mary that through these books, souls would learn how to have union with God. The King of Spain heard of Venerable Mary at this time and wanted to seek her counsel. He actually traveled in person to talk with her. They spoke through a metal grill that still exists today. It was in this year that Venerable Mary shared one of her first books with the king. He would have one of the only other copies. In this first book, she wrote about Mary's Immaculate Conception. The king asked Venerable Mary to write to him and to give him counsel. This would begin a writing exchange of over 600 letters between the king and Venerable Mary. Here, she would encourage him in the spiritual life and help him in ruling his monarchy. After 8 years of writing down the Mystical City of God, her confessor was out of town for only 2 weeks. During this time, she had an old confessor who advised her and told her women should not be writing down things as this and they could be from the devil. Under his guidance, she ended up burning all of her writings. When her confessor returned, he was extremely upset and told her to start writing from the beginning again. The king at this point had the only copy of Mystical City of God. He loved it so much that he told her he resolved to read about 2 hours of it every day. He also advised her that this would be a great book to publish so that other souls could also read it. Venerable Mary was terrified by this idea and didn't want any of her works to be published. She asked the king not to share his copy with anyone. There was a time period of 3 years where Venerable Mary asked for a sabbatical from her role as abbess. Each of the 3 years, she experienced what she called a mystical death. Her first year, which she called her first novitiate, or her first level of perfection, was focusing on imitation of Mary. In her next year, Mary showed her how to imitate Christ. In her third year, was focusing on contemplation of the Trinity within her soul. After 3 years, she asked to continue with her sabbatical, but they told her they wanted her to return as abbess. After this deep advancement of prayer, on December 8, 1655, Venerable Mary sat down to begin writing from the start the Mystical City of God. This would be the completed works that we have in our hands today. Venerable Mary is known for her bilocations, her levitations, but she's also known for the great miracles that she did in her life and after her death. There's one miracle that happened that no one knew of until many years after her death. One day, Venerable Mary was praying in the lower choir. she heard two workmen bring in a chest and leave it at the back of the church. She went to the box and discovered that it was a coffin. And she realized that the soul had died in the state of mortal sin. She prayed fervently for God to renew life to this soul and that he may have a good holy confession and die in the state of grace. Through her prayers, this man came back to life and came out of the coffin. Upon seeing his face, she realized that it was none other than her actual biological brother. A priest arrived at the church and was able to hear his confession. After his absolution, he walked back to his coffin, raised his hands in the air, thanking his sister for this miraculous gift, and crawled back into his coffin and died. The two workmen miraculously appeared, lifted up the coffin, and exited the church. The priest, surprised by this experience, wrote down this encounter in his records. On May 24, 1665, Venerable Mary passed away. Many miraculous cures have come about because of Venerable Mary of Agreda, whether it was someone touching her rosary, touching her cloak, touching the coffin that she was buried in. Even more have received cures through praying novenas to her. After Our Lady of Lourdes and after the Immaculate Conception became a dogma, Venerable Mary's canonization has now come to the forefront again. It is in this era that we have great confidence that she may be canonized as a saint. Venerable Mary of Agreda's life is an example to us of how to have union with God. Her writings of mystical city of God opened the hidden life to us of Mary, with her son Jesus at infancy, through his life, and after his death. I encourage you, read the mystical city of God and pray to Venerable Mary of Agreda. Pray for her canonization and pray for her to help you grow in love of Mary.